Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I came out swinging.
Smoking.
And Rob, I think he took a stand in our 8 count.
Nah, I'm still standing, man. Yes, I did.
Because he's Mr. Sam Darnold is this. Sam Darnold is, and I like Sam Darnold. I am not jumping off the Sam Darnold bandwagon. I think he can play. So I think the Jets are in good hands with him. But I think the best quarterback in New York City is Daniel Jones of the New York Giants. And I know Rob's going to poop, prisoner of the moment. He's going to text some of his guys to call in.
Stop
call
it.
Call me a prisoner of the moment. Daniel Jones, I know it's just one game. And I told you this, Rob. There are times, because I was with you in the preseason. You know, I'm not going to overreact to the preseason. He's completed 80% of his passes in the preseason. Looked really good. And I said, okay, let's see what he does in the regular season. He starts his first game, come from behind victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It wasn't looking pretty. It wasn't looking pretty early. Would you admit that when he first started?
He didn't look bad. I mean, obviously the team was losing.
Right.
But it wasn't really his fault. But I'll give you that. The team was definitely struggling. And without Golden Tate, his best receiver, he leads a comeback. They beat the Buccaneers. And obviously New York, you know, the back pages are going crazy. Okay, but here's the thing, Rob. I remember, and I'm going to say this, and I know you're gonna go for yours. I remember when Jason Kidd first got traded to the New Jersey Nets.
Okay.
Remember, the Nets were bad. They had Stephon Marbury the year before, who was a great point guard at that time, and couldn't win games. And in the preseason, I was covering the Knicks for the New York Times, and they played in Long Island at Nassau Coliseum.
Mm.
And the Nets ran them off the floor. And most people, including the Knicks, were like, preseason.
Preseason, you know, no big deal.
And I remember thinking, I don't know. Like, I know it was preseason, but the Nets looked legit.
So you were on board there, huh?
Right. I was like, you know what? They're legit. Because remember, Jason Kidd was, even though he was an all-star, he was not viewed like he is now. Like, he couldn't get past the second round in the West. You know, he wasn't viewed as this transcendent, you know, point guard that he came to be viewed as, with the way he turned the Nets around. But seeing them in preseason, and then we saw them again, I think they played the Knicks twice that year, I was like, oh, no, these boys are bad. And, of course, they went to the NBA Finals that year and the following year, even though they didn't win a title. But I'm just saying that to say sometimes, Rob, every so often, the preseason can tell you something. And I think it told us something with Daniel Jones. I think he really is going to be a very good quarterback. Not saying he's going to be top five. Not saying he's going to be a superstar. All I'm saying is I think he's the best quarterback in New York City.
Yeah, I think it's a little premature for one game. Bucks played absolutely awful defensively. And it's fine. A lot of guys have been padding stats, putting up huge numbers so far in this NFL season. This is when I think about this NFL season, I think of her quarterbacks and horrific defenses, just absolutely horrific. And he took advantage of it. And when you're down 18-0, Chris, everything, and with no running back, you're throwing the ball. The defenses are playing a little soft to let you throw the ball in front of them, not behind them. And it's the prevent. And a lot of times teams get beat playing that prevent defense where you got a big lead and you're trying to milk it. And you're trying to get the guy to throw the ball and stuff so you could, you know, run the clock out or whatever in front of you. And I'm not saying that he didn't make throws or that he's not going to be good or run, right, because he had the game running.
Two touchdowns.
Right, he had two touchdowns, including the game winner. I'm just not there after one game. I don't care how big it is, 18 points down. I just think you need to pump the brakes. Let's see a little bit more. And you know what? If he is turns out to be something special, I'll be the first one to tell you. But I'm not the only one who just couldn't understand why they took him from Duke. He had an unimpressive college.
You were in the overwhelming majority.
Right. Unimpressive college. Unimpressive college. Nobody really thought that he was all that and were really surprised at how high he went. And even when Gettleman talked about him, Chris, you remember he was like, well, I watched him in the Senior Bowl. And, I mean, he wasn't even convincing. You remember when they said, what did you see that other people didn't see? And he couldn't even articulate it.
But so, here's the thing, Rob. We have to admit, with a lot of these quarterbacks, I mean, Tony Romo, what, Eastern Illinois? Garoppolo, Eastern Illinois. Not that he's, you know, great. We'll see what he becomes. Tom Brady, heck. Nothing special at
Michigan.
He
did go to Michigan. And you're right. He did not play great in college.
No, nobody. I mean, that's why he was a sixth-round pick. Carson Wentz, North Dakota State. So, you know, a lot of these guys are late bloomers. Sometimes it seems more often than not. So we'll see with that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
You know, he stays in the news, man. It's incredible. I mean, it's almost
I'm
every day.
I'm concerned for him. I really am, Chris.
And I'm going to give you the floor first because I want you to speak your piece. But we're talking about Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
You want me to just kind of recap it and then you can go ahead. But this weekend, you know, obviously the Patriots cut him. And initially he was gracious, thanked them, I believe, on Instagram for the opportunity. And then the next day, he rips Ben Roethlisberger, rips Shannon Sharpe, our colleague at FS1, rips Robert Kraft, the owner. And now today he announces, which is this is a good thing, although it still makes you wonder about some things, that he's going back to the university or Central Michigan University to finish up online. And I guess try to get his degree. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Chris, for all the other stuff, and that's good if he wants to go back and get his degree, get his life together. It's just I'm concerned that there's something else going on because the self-inflicted stuff that the guy has done to himself is the part that's crazy. He's such a talented player. All he had to do was go there. Let your legal people take care of that stuff, Chris. Go play football, right? And I understand it. If some of this stuff winds up not being true, why you would be mad or furious at people. But that's not the way you handle it. And what he did was just wrong. And that's why you could just see
You're talking about the threatening.
Yeah, just the text. To even contact her, Chris.
Right?
To even contact her. You know that's a no-no. Am I right? You don't have to be a genius.
Question.
That's a no-no. No, no contact. Don't say anything. Let your lawyers and people like that handle that stuff. So he put himself in a bad spot, and now he may never get back. Or as we had Adam Kaplan from Fox Sports Radio NFL Insider say, there's always a chance, Chris, because people are always looking for an edge. And if you felt like we're one receiver away and we can make a move, you remember, I just forgot his name, Bryant. Dez Bryant, you remember the Saints figured we could get it. We got a chance, right? You remember?
They gave him a shot.
And then he got injured. But they were willing because they said, we need another receiver if this guy can give us something. And I'm not saying it's the same.
Dez's problems,
But I'm saying he was persona non grata around the league
Kaplan surprised me in that he actually said he thought this year.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
Before the playoffs.
Obviously, he'd have to be exonerated.
I failed to mention that part that Antonio tweeted that, I don't know if it's Twitter, Instagram, whatever, it's, you know. But anyway, he put out there on social media that he was done with the NFL. Done with the NFL. And that was before he ripped Robert Kraft. I'm with you, Rob. I'm concerned about his well-being.
I am.
This guy is acting, and everybody, you know, you hear some people on television, and of course, we're not doctors. We're not psychologists. We don't know if this guy has lost his mind or what. But this behavior is beyond self-destructive. this behavior, I mean, I can't imagine, Rob, somebody who studies people for a living, who is a psychologist, can't be looking at the things he's done and think he needs some type of evaluation. Am I right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm
with you 100%.
He's
and nobody's
delusional.
Saying we're not doctors. We don't. Right. We've never examined him. None of that stuff. But there's just something at play that doesn't make any sense to me. When you keep doing the same thing and it's self-inflicted, how you're so caught up on the, you just run to social media when you've seen people after people, Chris, right, have their careers ruined and all these other things, right? Not just players,
right?
All kinds of people. How many times does it have to happen before people get it?
And the other thing, Rob, is one thing that's consistent with AB, he never takes personal responsibility.
Right.
I mean, look, the most moral people do things wrong. I've made mistakes. And I don't mean just make mistakes like, you know, on your job or whatever, but just – you make misjudgments. We all make misjudgments.
All of us.
It bothers me when I hear an athlete, and he's not the only one to say it. I hear athletes say, I never have any regrets. Now, we all got some regrets. Now, I get it. You can learn from your mistakes, but don't act like, you know, we never have regrets. So AB, I mean, it reminds me of what. I had a nephew who was always getting into trouble, and he always had an excuse. He always had a reason for what he did, and it wasn't him, and it wasn't as it seemed. And that's Antonio Brown. It was Mike Mayock's fault. It was John Gruden's fault. It was Ben Roethlisberger's fault. Mike Tomlin's fault. Robert Kraft's fault. And I'm not saying some of those people aren't at fault. It was these women who have accused him of sexual harassment, their fault. But you had some responsibility. And he's got to take responsibility for some of this stuff, or he's never going to get himself together. And I said that because I think the dude got some issues, man. And hopefully he can get them straightened out.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I have been a guy that's had a lot of respect for Jim Harbaugh as a coach. But what's been going on this season, and really just he has yet to really put his stamp on that Michigan team. Now they've been he's made them relevant again. You know, they're in the national spotlight and they're in the conversation and all that. But obviously they haven't been able to beat Ohio State. They haven't been able to beat ranked teams for the most part. They've lost their last three bowl games. And instead of going forward, they seem to be going backwards. And this weekend was just atrocious. They go down 35-0, I believe, and they lost 35-14 to Wisconsin, which is a good team, but still, that just shows you where the program is, and it's not where people expected when Jim Harbaugh took over. I know you have some strong thoughts on this, so I want to hear you weigh in.
Yeah, it's just that I've been talking about this, Chris, for a couple years now. Jim Harbaugh is the most overrated coach in college football. There's no other way of putting it. He's the second highest paid guy in college football, and not rightly so. All right, because all the other guys who are up there in the top four, Chris, have all won a national championship. And it didn't take him 100 years to do it, and everybody has all the excuses. Oh, well, he didn't have his quarterback. Oh, he didn't have this. Oh, he didn't have that. I've heard all of the excuses for Jim Harbaugh, and you got to stop. He's being paid like an all-time great, and they don't win the games, Chris, you just brought up. They don't beat their rival Ohio State. They've lost to Michigan State a number of times. They can't beat top 10 schools, right? This is Michigan,
right?
For Christ's sake. This is supposed to be one of the story programs in the history of the United States. I don't know who's more overrated, Jim Harbaugh or the Michigan football program that's been around for 200 years. You know how many national championships Michigan's won, Chris?
One.
And it was shared.
I think they won a few back. I mean, in like the 40s, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not counting
that.
Anything before.
Yeah, like really, you know, way. But yeah, they won one in 1948.
They were using a pig,
Obviously, a dead pig
for a football back then.
Right.
I'm talking about the only one other than
what's his name? Was it 97?
Yeah, they shared it. It was shared. And my point is that they expected more when they brought him back. This is year, what, is it four?
It was Lloyd Carr, by the way.
Right.
That was Lloyd Carr.
And it was a tie. And my only point is, he's been a disappointment. He was grossly overpaid. They were wishing and hoping a Michigan man, one of their guys, was going to come back and write the program and do what everybody thought. Wow, this is great. We saw what he did in San Francisco. He didn't finish the job. But he turned that franchise around, right, with the 49ers. They went to a Super Bowl. They went to, what was it, a couple of NFC championship games. I get it, Chris. But at Michigan, it's been a disaster.
He's turned everywhere he's been around.
Right.
He turned Stanford around. Now, it took him a few years in Stanford, but he turned him around. He turned, as you said, San Francisco around. He didn't win the Super Bowl, but like you said, I mean, they were great. It was and he turned them around immediately. And I thought in Michigan, it started well. They didn't win, national title, but it started well. And they just seemed to be declining. And I'm certainly not going to go as far to say there's no way I think the game's passed him by. But this does kind of look like, offensively, he's just playing in another decade.
Oh, there it is. And he's the quarterback.
You hear what I'm saying?
He's the guy who's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer. He's the one who said, no, that guy over there on the sidelines, Colin Kaepernick, do you remember, Chris?
Right.
Turned the world around. You remember?
Right.
He had Alex Smith. He could have gone with what's been working, even though they couldn't get to where they wanted to, but he was a good, efficient quarterback. He said, no. And ever since he's gone to Michigan, they really haven't had that quarterback. He's supposed to be a guy who should be able to get the top quarterbacks in the country to come play for him. Why? He played in the NFL. He had success at Michigan as a quarterback.
Well, remember, and that was the big deal when he first got there. I mean, there was the rap video and, they got the Jordan deal. They wear Jordan, gear. I mean, everything was looking up. As you said, he was a superstar coach.
Yes, it was all about him.
Yep. And they send boatloads of guys to the NFL. So you can't say he doesn't have talent, which that's what's making this much worse. He hasn't been able to get the quarterback. They've actually looked out of sorts. Second play of the game offensively, they called a timeout. Because they weren't sure of their formation and so on and so forth. Several times.
Wasted timeout.
Yeah, and the defense, I mean, they almost had, too many men on the field several times. Guys are sprinting off the field. Like, it just looks like they are disorganized, which you never thought you'd say about a Jim Harbaugh team.
No, and at this point, I mean, people can try. I've had a lot. Obviously, my ties to Detroit and Michigan, I've had a lot of guys who are like the biggest Michigan fans just be downright disappointed, Chris. And, like, I can't any longer, like, make excuses for them or act like this isn't going on. Do you know what I mean? Because they've seen it. It's hard to argue now. That game, they were not competitive. That's not to rip Wisconsin or say that they're not a good team. But, Chris, they weren't ready. Were they ready for that game?
They weren't ready.
They weren't ready.
And obviously, they struggled the week before just to barely squeak by Army. And I looked at it like, well, Army gave Oklahoma all it wanted, 2 years ago or last year. And Oklahoma rebounded and had a great season. So I kind of brushed it aside. But, no, that was real. They're only a little better than Army. If I mean, they could easily lost that game. And you saw it last week against, or this weekend against Wisconsin. And look, I, as you know, Rob, we've talked about this on the air, off the air. I have given Harbaugh the benefit of the doubt. And I don't think he's on the hot seat. Now, that's debatable. I don't think Michigan would get rid of him. Here's what I
He's
say.
One of their own, and that sometimes right. could be the worst problem, Chris.
Well, this is going to lead into, I'm sure, something you're going to want to comment on. If I'm Michigan, this is something that's in my mind at this point. Because as you said, he's a Michigan guy. He's
Michigan man. That's what right. they wanted, a Michigan man to run the program.
Yep. And so if I'm Michigan, and I, obviously you see how the rest of this season plays out. But let's say it plays out where, you know, you lose to Ohio State again. Maybe you have
You lose to Ohio State,
losses.
A rookie coach. And remember, that game's at the Big House.
Ohio State's looking great.
Right, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, they looking like it's going to be a rout. You know, I hope now I'll be there. And I paid for tickets. But I hope it's a great game. I hope Michigan wins out until they get to Ohio State so it becomes this huge game. Because I'm hoping to see a good game. But anyway, let's say they lose four games this year. If you're Michigan, this is what you have to think. This has to be a big part of your thought process, Rob. Do we want to be a national power, a team that 3 out of every 4 years or every year is in the conversation for the bowl, you know, the championship playoff, like Ohio State is? Or do we want to be just relevant? You know, top 15 pretty much every year, second best program in the Big Ten behind Ohio State. But, you know, we're on national TV a lot. We're still, you know, very popular team. We're good. We get good recruits. But we're not really, you know, only once every few years are we going to even hope to be in the conversation for the playoff. You have to decide. And if it's the former, if it's we want to be Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, we want to be up there with them, Georgia now, then you will have to seriously consider moving on from Jim Harbaugh. If you go ahead and lose four games or so this year, because the program is declining. And if you just want to be relevant, pretty good, you know, top 15, top 10 every once in a while, maybe top 5 every few years, then you can go ahead and keep it. That's what the Michigan program has been. And that's to your point about is the program as a whole overrated? Because as you said, they got one national championship, 1997, and they shared that.
Right. That's the only thing.
Bo Schembechler is a legend. I mean, I remember growing up. I didn't grow up in Michigan, but it was Bo Schembechler was a legend.
And never won a national championship. And they admire that guy and adore that guy.
Right.
And thinks he's the cat's meow. And he never won a national championship, Bo Schembechler.
And I'm not against it because, I get it. Like, everybody, I don't think you have to win a national championship in football or basketball to be a blue blood. I mean, maybe you do get one. But you know what I mean? Like, you can be a great program. Like you said, Michigan's viewed as a great program.
But they don't win.
But they don't. You haven't won the national championship. And that's what they have to decide. Do you agree with that?
Yeah,
like
I do.
If you really want to be Ohio State, Clemson, or get to that level, you may have to move on. If you just want to be relevant nationally, you can keep Harbaugh.
Yeah, and you're right. They packed the Big House, Chris. Over 100,000 people are into it. They're not giving up their seats or not going to the games, but they're not in the mix. They should be in the mix for a chance to play for a national championship. So I'm telling you, I'm not so sure, Chris, right now, which is the bigger, which is it? Is it Jim Harbaugh who's more disappointing and a fraud, or is it that Michigan is a fraud or fraudulent? because neither one of them is good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We bring him in every week, one of our best segments of the week. It's the Hall of Fame defensive back, Rod Woodson. Rod, what's happening, man?
What's up?
What's going on, fellas? What's happening?
We are great, man. We are great. Look, before we get to the NFL, you know this. You played in the Big Ten. You played at Purdue.
Yes.
Jim Harbaugh, and I've been a defender of Jim Harbaugh.
I thought
San Francisco screwed up by letting him go instead of the front office and the whole nine yards. But Rob and I think are in agreement on this. I said in our last segment, if this season continues to go south, maybe say they lose four games or so, if Michigan has to decide, if we want to get to the level of Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, they may have to look elsewhere outside of Harbaugh. But if we just want to stay relevant, top 15, top 10 every few years, maybe every now and then that top five, we can stay with Harbaugh. What are your thoughts on this? Is he overrated? Should he be on the hot seat? What?
You know, listen, Jimmy's he was my roommate when I was in Baltimore. But I'm paid to be honest, right? I'm here to be with you guys, to be transparent 100. Listen, I like Jimmy, but I think his style of play, smash mouth, big linemen, big running backs, the fastest team in the Big Ten is always Ohio State.
Right.
And if you watch the game against Wisconsin, I set the game off at halftime.
Yes.
It was embarrassing.
It was that bad. Yes.
So I'm a little disappointed that, they have gone that far. Even though I didn't go to Michigan, I'm another Big Tenner at Purdue. But, I wouldn't be surprised if they did look elsewhere because, yes, if you're Michigan, you got to be in the conference. You got to be in the talk about going into the playoffs and being a national champion, But if you want to be like the other schools in the Big Ten and you just want to be competitive, then you stay with Jimmy. But I just think his style of play, I think, is a little outdated.
I was saying that earlier. It looked like that.
So I think speed is key nowadays, and it's played in space. You need speed. You need players who can make big plays, a 3-yard catch into an 80-yard run. And they don't have that right now.
Man, it is bad. Yeah. Let's switch over to the NFL. And your former team, struggling, no wins. Where are the Steelers going?
He wasn't sure which one you were talking about.
Yeah, I know. You were like, wait a minute. But the Raiders won a game, right? The Raiders have won a game. So it wasn't the Raiders.
They need you back, man, both of them.
But the Steelers are 0-3, and, they were winning that game until the end. It's 0-3, your season's just about over.
Yeah, it doesn't look too good. The only positive light that they have right now is that they get the Cincinnati Bengals this week. Maybe it can jumpstart something. It just doesn't look like the same team. And getting rid of AB, and now AB is now out of the National Football League. Getting rid of Le'Veon Bell. Maybe practices are going smoother during the week, but you need talent on the weekends. When you play football, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't have got rid of AB, especially considering all the situations that he's
right.
in as of late. But Le'Veon Bell is one of those guys that you can question mark that, should they have gotten rid of, should they paid him, should they gave him more guaranteed money? But at the end result, they were competitive, but they just didn't win. And for the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, I can't remember, and I don't think it's been since Mike Tomlin's been coaching, I don't think he's ever started 0-3. It's hard to come back from that, and it's hard to have a winning season when you start 0-3. Mike Tomlin, as a head coach with the Steelers, has never had a losing season. The question is this his first? I know we're going to hear a lot of doubters. A lot of people say he should be fired. I don't think that should be the case. At times, I think he's been there for a long time. He's put a good product on the field week in and week out. Hopefully this maybe is a rebuilding year for him.
Ron, I think you're right. I mean, they clearly missed the talent, AB and Le'Veon Bell, that they lost. But there's two sides to every story, and I'm looking at Le'Veon, and he said all the right things. He put something out on Twitter, I believe, you know, saying, look, all you counting us out, you know, don't worry, we're going to be back, all that stuff. But I'm looking at Le'Veon, who I think still is a great running back, but I'm saying, man, he misses the Steelers just as much as they miss him. And do you often – I know he's got his money, so he's probably happy with that. But a lot of times it seems like, you know, a guy can be taken out of a system. I mean, Le'Veon, as great as he is, he may never be that prolific star again just because he's not in the right situation.
I mean, they don't have the offensive line. I mean, they're 28th in rush offense to date. I know it's early in the season. You know, I know he got his money. I just thought that it was a bad place to go for him because they struggled the year before with their offensive line and protecting the young quarterback. He's coming there. They did some a little upgrades, but they still don't have the offensive line they had years ago when they were running the football extremely well. And he left a very solid offensive line. You know, I thought that combination of where how he played with the offensive line in Pittsburgh was very potent. I thought, you know, a lot of times guys make decisions for different reasons. He made the decision to go with the New York Jets. They gave him the most money. They gave him the most guarantee. And, you know, that's something that, you know, he's going to have to deal with for the next couple of years. But then again, you know, Pittsburgh was going to have to deal with, you know, you look at Connor, you think he was going to be the guy. Again, he fumbles the football when they're going in to score. He did it again. He did it last year multiple times.
Yes.
He did it again. He did it again this week. You know, is he the guy? You know, is he the future franchise running back that the Pittsburgh Steelers need? And there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, especially for Pittsburgh on the offensive side of the ball.
Hey, Rob, we got about 45 seconds. Tell me about Kyler Murray's performance. Not a pretty picture. The numbers, like one of the worst performances by a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, 30 for 43, 173.
173.
Two TDs, two interceptions. You know, and the one pick was just, he missed his guy by about 10 yards, you know, and then you get the young player that comes in, Daniel Jones, and everybody's questioning who he is. And, you know, look, Kyler Murray is a really good athlete. But sometimes you get overwhelmed with how he can run around. And I still don't know if this system fits the National Football League, because if you pressure the system, the quarterback, being as young as he is, doesn't have time to decipher the defenses, and they got to get rid of the football, and they make bad decisions. At times he had some good throws, but at times he made poor decisions. That's a part of being a young quarterback in the league. They don't have a great team around him.
No doubt.
You know, so that's one thing. But he's a young quarterback. He's shown some promises or some promise. He has some good plays. And you just got to hope that throughout the year, as it progresses, that he keeps showing promise and he keeps showing those glimpses of what he can be.
Rod, I'm going to push it for another, say, 30, 45 seconds. What's the difference you see between Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson? Because watching Lamar Sunday, I was saying, look, he takes some hits like a running back. I don't know how long it'll last, but when he's on the field healthy, he's special because of the double threat. What do you see the difference between those two?
Well, they got listen, the Baltimore
What's
Ravens.
Around them?
The Baltimore Ravens football team is a better football team than the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they've been that way for quite a long time. They had that one year that they weren't that good. This is a good football team. They're gonna give a lot of headaches to the Kansas City Chiefs down the stretch of this season if they don't meet back up in the playoffs. If they meet back up in the playoffs, it's going to be another good game like it was this past week. So, you know, I just think that he needs more pieces around him. And then the system itself, I just don't know if it's an NFL system. I think if you pressure and, you know, listen, in the National Football League, you have the best cover guys in the world. They can make some small windows for a quarterback to throw into, and he has to be comfortable enough to start making those throws and to get his receivers open with those throws. And if he does that and he shows glimpses of that throughout the year, then I think you'll be okay.
All right. Hall of Fame defensive back Rod Woodson. We appreciate the knowledge, brother, as always.
All right, man. Love you guys.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.